Without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and invite our guest speaker for tonight, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi from the Islamic Republic of Pakistan, who will be speaking to us about Jihad-e-Tab'een from the Quranic perspective. Let's go ahead and invite him with a loud Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. Sadaqallahu al-aliyyul azim. Please send a loud salawat. Today I tried to change the pattern of the lecture into a slide or presentation because we're going to discuss about a couple of verses of the Quran, and it is necessary to look at the verses while I'm explaining. I can just read the verses and explain the meanings, but it is better to look at the verses, inshallah. The topic which we're going to, inshallah, talk about is the Jihad-e-Tab'een from the perspective of the Quran or Quranic perspective. What does Jihad-e-Tab'een mean? Do we have Jihad-e-Tab'een in the Quran? Because when we talk about the Jihad or anything which has been said by a jurist, we generally try to look its basis or roots in the Quran or the Ahadith. And we know that the jurists, and especially because Wali Faqih is the status who has been the Naib of Imam al-Asr alayhi salatu wasalam, therefore there must be some roots of his orders or what he says in the Quran. From the other perspective, we're going to look at the importance of this topic that is being said by him, because he forced on Jihad-e-Tab'een, and now onwards we can see that in many of his speeches he talked about this Jihad-e-Tab'een. So when we look at the Jihad-e-Tab'een, first of all we need to look how many types of jihad do we know. Generally we know the minor jihad and the major jihad or the greater jihad, which is known Jihad-e-Asghar wa Jihad-e-Akbar. When we talk about the minor jihad or Jihad-e-Asghar, it is said that when a person goes to the war or he battles against the mushrikeen, this is Jihad-e-Asghar. And the Jihad-e-Akbar is something which relates to my own self, my own reformation. So when we talk about the Jihad-e-Akbar, it is I need to correct myself, I need to look at my a'mal, my deeds, and should try to become a perfect mu'min, inshallah. So these are the two types of jihad which generally we have. When we talk about the Jihad-e-Tab'een, it is something in middle of both. It is merge of both things. We cannot say that the Jihad-e-Tab'een is the part of greater jihad or it is the part of the minor jihad only. It is the mixture of both. Why? Because al-alimu bil-amal. A scholar, when he says something, a person who needs to do this tabiyin, who needs to explain, who needs to take away the, we can say like the doubts, who needs to make clarity, he must have some kind of role. He must be pious. He must be God-very first, so that his wordings will have effect on the people. If he himself is not reformed, then he cannot reform the people. Therefore, Jihad-e-Tab'een is the mixture of both. It has something from the minor jihad and it is the part of the greater jihad. When we talk about the minor jihad, obviously we are dealing with the enemies. The enemies are propagating against the Islam. They are giving the fake news. Therefore, it is the part of the minor jihad. But the person who is doing this jihad, he should have some characteristics. Inshallah, we'll talk about that as well. There are some conditions that he must have, and on the basis of that condition he must do that jihad, inshallah. When we look at the word tabiyin, because Jihad-e-Tab'een has two words, scholarly, when we look at the word tabiyin, it has roots in the Arabic language and the Persian. Definitely the supreme leader has made the sermon in the Persian language, but obviously this word has roots in the Arabic language too. When we look at the Arabic language, we see that the tabiyin is from bayyana. Now those who are in the hawza, they know fa'ala yufa'ilu taf'il, bayyana yubayyinu tabiyin. So we have this word in the Quran. This is the Arabic word. So this is the root of the Arabic. Now bayyana means to clear something. I've just brought the Persian translation. Anchiz ashkar va roshan shod. That thing is made clear or manifested. The manifest. In the Persian language, when we look at the dictionary, for example, the Mu'in or Kad Khoda or Deh Khoda, these are the famous dictionaries, they also translate the same. Like it means to clear or to manifest. This is what Tabyin or Bayyana means. After this, we go towards the Quran and we try to look in the Quran that when the word Tabyin was used, and it is from the root word Bayyana or Bayin, not bain as between, but is bain as to clear. Do we have any words in the Quran, and how many words do we have? So according to the search which I made, I found these words. These are the 8 different words, and you definitely have heard about it, which is yubayyinu. This is one of the words. Tabayyana, tabayyanu, tastabin, and mubayyinat. These are the words. Mubin, and bayyana and tubayyin. These are some words which are derived from the root word bayyana. Now, we're going to look at the examples of the Quran, that these words which we just said, these were used in the Quran. In which sense are they used? The first words that we see, I hope you all can see the slides, inshallah. Now, send a salawat, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The first verse which we have here is كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. Now here the word يُبَيِّن is to make clear. This is the meaning of this word in this verse. In the Quran, when we see at the word يُبَيِّنُ, generally it is used in this sense. يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ, that Allah made clear to you. This is what it means. The second example is وَآتَيْنَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. The word bayyinat in the Quran means clear evidences. When Allah gives clear evidences to someone, He says bayyinat. Al-bayyinat or bayyinat. So these are the two examples. The other examples of the Quranic, like the words, is, for example, bayyanna. When we look at the bayyanna, it is قَدْ بَيَّنَّ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمِ يُوقِنُونَ, that we have shown clearly the sign to the people who are certain. So here, bayyanna, again, it has the meaning of clarification, clearing something, to clear, manifest something. So Allah says, قَدْ بَيَّنَّ الْآيَاتِ, we have shown clearly the signs to them. Then there is another verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that innahu lakum aduwwum mubin. The word mubin, we have heard it so many times, that about shaitan, Allah said, even to Adam alayhi salam, He said, I said to you that shaitan is your aduwwum mubin. He is your clear enemy. There is no doubt in it. Mubin is for something which is clear. There is no doubt. A person has reached to the level of yaqeen, and that's when it becomes mubin for someone. So these are the examples. Now, our topic is about the jihad-e-tabyin. When we talk about the jihad-e-tabyin, we see that the supreme leader has said that the jihad-e-tabyin is to clarify people, to give explanation about the doubts that they have. The enemies are making doubts in the minds of people. They are showing the wrong picture of Islam, and it is our duty to show them the right picture of Islam. Now, when Supreme Leader has given this lecture, this sermon, and it has come in different parts, obviously he delivered this lecture in front of those who are from the Husainiya or Maddah, generally we say, who recites the Nauha and the Maddahi. Many people were saying that we already are doing jihad-e-tabyin. So what's the need of doing jihad-e-tabyin? Is there any other aspect of it? Because what it is said to make clear for people your beliefs, the true Islam. In the verse that we have here, it's chapter Baqarah, verse 259. This is the story of Hazrat Uzair alayhi salam, that when he passed through a village, he saw that which had been fallen into ruin. Then he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, how you did this, how they will become alive again. And the Quran says that قَالَ أَنَّ يُحْيِي هَذِهِ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا فَأَمَاتَهُ اللَّهُ مِئَةَ عَامٍ. Allah make him dead for 100 years. ثُمَّ بَعَثَهُ. And then he raised him. Raised Uzair alayhi salam. And then he asked him, how much did you sleep? What do you think? He said, for a day or half or for some time. And then Allah revived the things, the donkey that he had, the food that he has. So here Allah showed him. Now, the question is, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing tabiyyin. He's explaining, he's making clear what the doubt that was in the mind of Hazrat Uzair alayhi salam. But the point is, Hazrat Uzair was Nabiullah. He was the prophet. And on the other hand, here we cannot say this is jihad-e tabiyyin, or for those, for our brothers who are in faith, who already are following the path of Ahlul Bayt, this jihad is related to them. This jihad is for them. We are already doing this, because we don't call it jihad-e tabiyyin. This is something which is close to tabiyyin, which a person has a doubt, but he has not reached to the level of yaqeen. And then Allah is taking him to the level of yaqeen. So this kind of work is close to tabiyyin, but it is not called as tabiyyin. What happens to tabiyyin when we look at the Quran? We see that the jihad, the tabiyyin in the Quran, for example, there is a verse of chapter Nahl, verse 44. بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالزُّبُرِ. We send them with the bayyinat, with the clear evidences, clear proofs. والزُّبُر, and with the written ordinance. وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. Now the point is in مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ means that which was sent for them from before. Allah says, O Prophet, I'm giving you a dhikr, a book, a script. This Quran you need to take. لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ, in order to explain them, in order to clear their doubts, in order to remove all the doubts and the wrong things about the religion which they think. If, for example, killing daughters while they're born, it has become the part of the culture and they think it's something spiritual, or maybe it's religious, or they will get reward. You need to take out these doubts. This is not the religion. If they think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah has sent Quran for the, or the angels are from the female gender or feminine, these are the doubts that are created because of we can say like the things that the Christians and the Jews, or those who wanted to turn religion according to their own perspective, they made some changes. So these doubts you need to clear. The point is, مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. There was something before, now they are in the doubts. Maybe it was they intend to do this, they purposefully made these changes, and now the religion is changed. The things which were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was in Torah, which was in Injil, Bible, which was in Zabur, it all been changed. Now you need to make it clear, you need to clarify this, you need to explain what is the right, what is the wrong. وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Maybe they ponder. After this, the next verse is much more clear about the jihad al-tabiyyin. And that is the verse from chapter Ma'idah, verse 15.
يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولُنَا يُبَيِّنُ لَكُمْ كَثِيرًا. Ya Ahl al-Kitab, O the people of book, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ, certainly he came to you, رَسُولُنَا, our prophet came to you, our messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to you. يُبَيِّنُ لَكُمْ, to make clear, to make clear, لَكُمْ, for you, كَثِيرًا, of that which many, مِمَّا, of you, كُنْتُمْ تُخْفُونَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ, which you used to hide, which you changed. You hide the actual religion, you hide the path or the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which takes us towards the perfection, which takes us towards the kamal for which the prophets were sent,
for which the prophets were raised amongst the people. So you hide that, and the prophet, his duty is, here is the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the other side. Because when he talks to Ahlul Kitab, the people of book, that we have sent this messenger for this cause, on the other hand, we can imagine that there is an order for the prophet as well. O prophet, you need to go amongst them, because they have hidden the truth, and you need to make apparent that truth. You need to manifest the truth in front of people so that the people are coming towards the right path. And then he says, مِمَّا كُنْتُمْ تُخْفُونَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٌ قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. So this was the verse. On the other hand, I just brought one of the sayings of Imam Ali alayhi salam, which was also said in the lectures of the Imam Khamenei, that when he refers to Jihad al-Tabiyyin, he says that from letter number 47, which was the will of Imam Ali alayhi salam to Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, where when he was struck by Ibn Muljim, he made some will. And there he said to the both Imam, to both his sons, Wallah, Wallah, fil jihadi bi amwalikum wa anfusikum wa alsinatikum fi sabilillah. That by Allah, fi jihad, in the struggle, jihad that you perform, bi amwalikum, with your wealth, wa anfusikum, with your souls, wa alsinatikum, and with your tongues, fi sabilillah, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here we can see that Imam alayhi salam is explaining that what was said to the Prophet, that you need to make clear for those ma nuzzila ilayhim, for whom we have sent the book, for whom we send the script, you need to make clear for them. And now here Imam clearly says that, O my two sons, you're the next Imams, obviously, and he is the Hujjat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says to Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein that when you do jihad fi sabilillah, it is not only about the amwalikum, your wealth. It is not about the only about the anfusikum, yourselves, but it is also about alsinatikum. You need to do it with your tongue. You need to do it, deliver like through speeches. And it can be in any way, because when we talk about the jihad al-tabiyyin, it is through media, it is through mimbar that we have, it is through maybe the noha that we recite. And this is important, that Karbala, we have seen, unfortunately, that in UK, there were some people who had the gala dinner, recently happened. And in gala dinner, they were selling the torba of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. I don't want to take names. You can just check on the YouTube. They were selling the turba of Imam Hussein. It was on auction. Why is this happening? Did Imam Hussein sacrifice himself and his family in order so that in future my followers will do auction of my turba? That is said that if you do sajda on this turba, Allah do not reject this sajda that you do in this turba. The Karbala, where we need to go and learn from the lessons of the Karbala, from the jihad of Imam Hussein, from the sacrifices that they had, the sentence which Janabe Sayyida Zainab Salamullah says, that ma ra'aytu illa jamila, was it because that these people come and they do a dinner gala or something like that and they sell the tabarrukat and they put that on auction? Why is it so? Why are they doing this? Is the turba devaluated? Is the importance of the turba is devaluated, that they're trying to bring up the value again? These are the secular thoughts. Unfortunately, we have these secular thoughts in our communities. Most of us just think about ourselves, or they think about the religion monetarily, which is wrong. Islam is not to make people, we can say, like tujjar, or you know, the traders. They have become the traders of the blood of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. And unfortunately, there are many people who are misguided. Now, whose responsibility is to take them back to the right path? This is Jihad al-Tabiyyin, actually. Here we need to do Jihad al-Tabiyyin. We strongly need to condemn these kind of things that are happening in our society. In the name of Shiaism, in the name of Shia, in the name of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And if someone with not having any knowledge about these things is participating in these things, we have to take them away. We need to guide them. We need to tell them. It is not to just condemn them. Rather, we need to educate people. We need to educate these people. We have to do itmam hujjat for them. So Imam Ali alayhi salam says that wallah wallah fil jihad bi amwalikum wa anfusikum wa alsinatikum fi sabilillah. This is what jihad at-tabyin is. Now, what are the conditions of jihad at-tabyin? Are there some conditions for the person who wants to do jihad at-tabyin? Generally we think that I can do that. I said that jihad at-tabyin is the mixture of the minor jihad and the greater jihad. It's something which is merged, which is made of jihad akbar and jihad asghar. In chapter Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 160, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, illa alladhina. I hope that all of you know the meaning of this part. Illa alladhina, except those. It means that there are many people out there who are doing jihad, who think that they are doing jihad, who think that they are following the right path, who think that they are the preachers of Islam, who think that they have done a lot for the Islam, but Allah says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ. There are many people, but from those people, there are some conditions for which Allah will accept this jihad. Who are they? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا. Those who repent. Obviously, we are not infallibles. We all are fallibles. There is a need of repentance. We need to first clear our souls, and then we need to go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or towards the public. I recommend my brothers and sisters to read the book Jihad Akbar by Imam Khomeini. These are some sermons by Imam Khomeini, and Ayatollah say a salawat inshallah. Allahumma salli ala Ayatollah Fayyazi is giving lectures in the Husseini of Imam Khomeini in the Bayt al-Rahbari. He's talking about this book. 10 to 15 minutes he spends on that book. When you look at that book, it's about the Sha'ban, the month of Sha'ban. These lectures were delivered by Imam Khomeini in the month of Sha'ban, and he talks about the Munajat al-Sha'baniyah in that. He says that a person who is in the Hawza, before he becomes popular, he has to do Tadhkiyah and Tahzeeb. If he does not reform himself, if he does not purify himself, then he should not go in the public and do preaching. In other words, Imam is making it haram for such a person. And the problems that we have in the society is because there are many people who did not reform themselves, who did not purify themselves when they were studying. They just pay attention towards the studying and not the tazkiyatun nafs. And then when they go to different centers, they obviously serve people, they bring their own ideas in the preaching, the way we have seen this gala has happened. They declare that they are the best preachers of Islam, they are the best saviors of Islam or the Shiaism, but we can see what they're doing with this religion. So the first thing is, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ, amongst those who are doing jihad, the first condition is, amongst those there are some tabu, who did repentance. وَأَصْلَحُ, and they reformed themselves. Now the tabu is the first part, and the second step is aslahu. Aslahu, what does it mean? Let me give an example. It's a famous example. It's been given by many scholars that there is a difference between the Hazrat Hur in the Karbala and Zubair in the Battle of Jamal. They both did tawbah. They both were repented. Like Zubair, when he came to Imam Ali alayhi salam, in the presence of Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam said to him that, oh Zubair, do you remember that the Prophet has said that the day you come against me, you're on the wrong path and I'm on the truth. I'm always on the truth. Al-Aliyun ma'al-haq wal-haq ma'a-Ali. So he remembered that. And he said, I'm ashamed of what I have done. So he went out. So this is tawbah basically. He became ashamed of what he has done. But the point is, on the other hand, when we look at the Hur, Hazrat Hur in the Karbala, he was also ashamed of what he has done. So when he came to Imam Hussein, his hands were tied behind his neck. So he came to Imam Hussein. Now from here, they both were the same. They're at the same status. They both have done the tawbah. Then he came to Imam Hussein. Hazrat Uhud has come to Imam Hussein. He said, "Oh Abu Abdullah, I am sorry." Now here, Zubair and Hura are at the same status. They both are doing Tawbah. The point is, aslahu, reforming yourself. Why Zubair become like, he's not from the Ahlul Bayt, or he's not from the companions, or we say like he's not on the right path? It's because the army which he brought with him, he never went back to the army and said that the Prophet has said this thing to me, that the day you will come against Ali, you are on the wrong side. He never told this thing to the people, so that the people could change, could go back. The army he brought, he didn't took it back. But on the other hand, we can see that the Hura alayhi salam, he came in front of the army. He gave a lecture to the army. He said to the army that I was wrong, and Hussein ibn Ali is the imam of the time, he is right. So basically, this is the time of aslahu. And he said that, "Oh Imam, if you have accepted my tawbah, if Allah has accepted my tawbah, I request you that I will be the first person who will go for the jihad." So he has given his life for Imam, and he was the first person. His son was the first person, his ghulam, his slave, himself. So this is aslahu. When we do repentance, it is time to do aslahu, to reform ourselves. That the mistakes that we have done, if it is related to the public, then we need to make clear. If a mujtahid gives a wrong fatwa, because of that, there are many people who are following that fatwa. Aslahu is when he takes back that fatwa which was wrong, and he gives the wrong statement, he gives the right statement about that. This is aslahu. When we at this state, at the position of being an alim and we are preaching, if I have said something wrong, if my actions are giving a wrong message to the public, then I have to make myself right. It can be in any way. I just give a couple of examples so the minds can come closer. What do I mean by aslahu? So there is the second thing is aslahu. Allah says that إِلَّا الَّذِينَ, from all these who are doing jihad, maybe they all are doing tawbah, but the point is aslahu is a necessary there. They need to do aslahu. And the third condition is wabayyanu. Wabayyanu, they need to make clear the things. The doubts that were in the minds of the people, they have to make this clear. If they're not clearing the minds of the people, if the mess which they have made in the public, they're not doing that, they're not making it right, then there is no use of doing tawbah and aslahu. Aslahu and tawbah should be with the bayyanu, with clearing the things. We said tabayyin is from the root word of bayyana. So Allah says you need to clear yourself. And the verse continues, فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَنَا التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Now, I need to explain about this. It's a, we can say, a nice point. There is a difference when we read Quran. I request my brothers and sisters to definitely do some translation courses of the Quran in order to understand. In the Quran, we have the word tawbah, but sometimes tawbah comes with the ila. Safartu ila Karbala. I traveled towards Karbala. This is tubu ila. And sometimes tawbah comes with ala, with the ayn. Ala means upon. In the Quran, we have both wordings, and sometimes it comes without any thing said before it. The difference between tubu ila and tubu ala, we need to understand this difference. When it is said tubu ila, it is from us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, tubu ila Allah. I just brought an example that tubu ila bari'ikum, that you need to repent towards your Lord. This is Hazrat Musa is saying to his nation. So when it is said tubu ila, this is what we are going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are performing repentance. But when it is said fataba alaykum or tubu ala, taba alaykum, it means that Allah has accepted your repentance. There's a difference. Once we perform something, we are trying to become mukhlis, for example. Mukhlis is the one who purifies himself. This is mukhlis. And one is mukhlas, the one whom Allah has purified. Now, whose status is higher? Who's better? Mukhlis or mukhlas? Definitely it is mukhlas because Allah has purified him. So when Allah says fataba alaykum, it means Allah has accepted his tawbah. And you all have heard that Allah does tawbah twice, and we as a creatures, we do once tawbah. First, Allah gives us tawfiq of tawbah. He puts that in our hearts that I need to ask for forgiveness. I need to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when I do repentance and I ask for forgiveness, He accepts it. He comes back towards us. Tawbah means to coming toward, turning towards someone. So tubu ila and tubu ala. Now, the verse that we were reading about the conditions, it also explains the status of the person who with those conditions performs the jihad. And his status, his reward is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that فَأُولَٰئِكَ, therefore they are those, أَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِمْ, I have accepted their struggle, I have accepted their repentance, I have accepted them. This is the status of the person who does tabiyin or jihad tabiyin with those three conditions. Tabu wa aslahu wa bayyanu. So this is what we have in the Quran. And Allah says that his reward is atubu alayhim wa ana tawwabur rahim. And he talks about himself. So beauty. Beautifully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says tawwabur rahim. This is superlative form. Tawwab. Rahim is as well is the adjective. So he talks about himself. Ana tawwabur rahim. Like Allah is prouding on himself that I am. You know, sometimes we proud on ourselves like I am this and I have done this. And Allah, when He forgives His servants, He says, I am the one who accepts the tawbah of my servants. I am the one who forgives them. So He's proud of this. Alhamdulillah. Say a salawat, inshallah. We talked about the importance of the tabiyyin. Tabiyyin was in the Quran. It was ordered to the Prophet. It is according to the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I could bring more examples. For example, how Hazrat Musa in front of the magicians, how he did tabiyyin. That was jihad tabiyyin. Obviously, he did not have a battle of we can say like with the swords or anything. He just talked to them. Hazrat Ibrahim, when he was talking to his nation, when they were looking at the stars, at the moon, at the sun, it was jihad tabiyyin. So you need to know. But the point is, فَتَبَيَّنُوا. There is another verse of the Quran. I didn't have time to bring it because it would become so lengthy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. When you go in order to struggle in the path of Allah, فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Do tahqiq, do investigation. You need to have the knowledge of what you're doing. This is not right that we do not have the knowledge of something and then we try to pretend that we know about the Islam. I said, al-alimu bil-amal, that the jihad tabiyyin is made of the minor and the greater jihad. So when it is made of both jihad, it means that I should know about the Islam, I should be practically doing that, and then it is the time to do the jihad. Otherwise, there is no use of doing that jihad. Now, the point here which I want to make is jihad tabiyyin, the ultimatum. Some people might say that this jihad is necessary on those who believe in wali faqih. Unfortunately, there are many people who say that. And it is not necessary on people who do not believe in wali faqih, or they are not the muqallideen or the followers of rahbar, for example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving an ultimatum to those who ignore jihad tabiyyin. It is necessary on everyone. And if someone ignores it, then obviously there are consequences for him. And I will inshallah explain about the consequences. But the point is, if someone thinks that the jihad tabiyyin is not for me, then obviously we said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has done the jihad tabiyyin. The Prophet Musa, Prophet Ibrahim, the other prophets, they all have done jihad tabiyyin. Imam Ali alayhi salam to his both sons, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, is saying that وَأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. You need to do this jihad through your tongue, with the speeches. You need to talk about it. So this is something which is necessary, which was from the beginning. It was from the Adam alayhi salam till Khatam alayhi salam, and till now. It is continuation. And if the Supreme Leader is saying, because we have not done our part, we were away from this part of jihad, and that's why he's forcefully saying that all of you need to do jihad at tabiyyin.
Because he knows that if this time we did not raise for this jihad, then obviously our generations will lose the deen, religion, their iman, their faith. There will be nothing left for us. We can see the clear example. I just gave the example, and this is the one of the most clear examples which just has happened a couple of days ago. This gala dinner, this is not the Shia. This is not about the Shiism. This is not about the Islam. And there are many other things. There are many other things you can find out on the internet. What is the ultimatum which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. Those who used to or who are hiding the things from the clear evidences that we have sent down, وَالْهُدَى, and the guidance, مِن بَعْدِ مَا بَيَّنَّاهُ لِلنَّاسِ, after that we have made clear for the people, فِي الْكِتَابِ, in the book, أُولَٰئِكَ. Now these are those who do not do the jihad tabyin. Why I'm saying those who do not do? Because everyone has a responsibility. I'm sorry to say this, but the first responsibility is the responsibility of the parents. If they are not praying at home, if they are not the regular prayers or five-time prayers, their kids will never pray. So what they're doing, they are yaktumuna ma anzalallah. They're hiding what Allah has sent down. It is the orders of the Quran. Let's start from our house. A person who says that I never went to Hawza, I never read any book, I don't know Quran. You know about the rulings of Islam. Ayatollah Behjat says that if you perform what you know, you will become arif. This is a famous saying of Ayatollah Behjat from Ayatollah Qazi. He narrates from Ayatollah Qazi. So we know that the five-time prayers is wajib. We know that lying is haram. We know that the ghibah is haram. There are many things that we know. If we are not doing that, then we are from those who yaktumuna ma anzalallah, those who hide what Allah has sent. That's why Allah says, inna alladhina, certainly. Allah says with the certainty, with the emphasis, inna, certainly those. Yaktumuna ma anzalna, that which we, those who hide what we have sent down or conceal, min al-bayyinat, from the clear evidences, wal-huda. Now here it's not only about the clear evidences, it's about the huda, guidance as well. There are two things here. One is bayyinat, clear evidences. Clear evidences is the Quran. It is the a'imma alayhimus salatu wassalam. We have to follow them. There are many other clear evidences, but on the other hand, there is a guidance. هَذَا كِتَابٌ وَهُدًى هَذَا بَيَانٌ لِلنَّاسِ. This is a clear statement for the mankind. وَهُدًى, and it's a guidance for the people. Allah says Quran is the guidance. We have to follow this Quran. Who hides from the بَيَّنَات, clear evidences, وَالْهُدَى, and the guidance. مِن بَعْدِ مَا بَيَّنَّاهُ لِلنَّاسِ. After that we have made it clear for the people. فِي الْكِتَابِ أُولَٰئِكَ. Now, what is the consequences? The consequences is أُولَٰئِكَ, they are يَلَعَنُهُمُ اللَّهِ. I can't translate this. I'm afraid of translating this. You all know the meaning of the word which has been used. يَلَعَنُهُمُ اللَّهِ. You know, one of the mystics, Urafa, he says that when we say that may Allah curse the enemies of Ahlul Bayt. مَنْ ظَلَمَ حَقَّ مُحَمَّدٍ. Whoever has done injustice to Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salatu wassalam, it also covers us. Therefore, who says this in Ziyarat Ashura, he has to at least say salawat at least 300 times in a day, so that the consequences, he does not get those consequences. Because one of the things that are on our shoulders, the responsibility, is to talk about Ahlul Bayt, to do tawassul. We don't do tawassul every day. We might read Ziyarat Ashura from the apparent ziyarat, but we don't go in depth of ziyarat. What does it mean? What does tawassul means? We ask other peoples to help us, but we never ask Ahlul Bayt. Ahlul Bayt are the last people. When we say no one is helping us, then we do tawassul to Ahlul Bayt. Or we go to the haram of Hazrat Masuma salamullah alayha. Allah says, أولئك يلعنهم الله ويلعنهم اللاعنون. Allah will curse them, and those who curse will curse them. Means that when we say generally بشمار in the majalis, it is covering all of these, even those who are not doing jihad at-tabiyin. We need to start this jihad from our house so that our children, they know about the religion, they know about the right path. Because we have not done our job, Rehber is saying, or the Supreme Leader is saying, that those who are maddah, those who are delivering speeches, they have to do this. But in another way, to make it clear. On the other hand, we have enemies who are propagating. We have seen that in the case of Ukraine, how they showed the pictures of the Palestinian kids and they were showing that this is the Ukrainian kids. This is all the media, it's in the hands of the enemies. So who has to make these correct? Who needs to correct these things? It's our duty. So everyone has a duty. The next verse is, for those who are think that they are the special people and they believe in Ahlul Bayt except the Prophet. Unfortunately, we have such people as well. Allah says, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى. And whoever opposes the messenger of God, الرسول means the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after guidance has become clear to him, مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى, وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and he follows the path other than the path of the mu'mineen. Unfortunately, we have the traditional Shias in our countries. We have to make this correct. I cannot say that I do not go for preaching there and then the people will become the followers of Imam. It is my duty. I have to start from my own city, from my own home, from my family, from the people I know. So Allah says that those who oppose the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلَّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِحِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Allah gives him the way he follows. Allah gives him what he wants. You know, many people say that the kuffar have a lot of money. They're like, they're in a better status. So Allah gives them what they want. But on the other hand, what happens is وَنُصْلِحِ جَهَنَّمَ, but he drives them into the hellfire. وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا, سَاءَ from سُوءُ, evil. وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا, and how evil is this destination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made clear, and obviously when we talk about the rehba, when we talk about the supreme leader, we know that he says something that is in the Quran, and on top of that, we believe that because he is the naib of Imam of the time, Imam al-Asr, Imam Mahdi ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, so he says whatever Imam is saying. He says what it is necessary for the zuhur or the reappearance of Imam al-Asr alayhi salatu wasalam. Therefore, when we talk about the evidences of the Quran or the jihad at-tabiyin from the Quranic perspective, it is in order to show the importance of this jihad. Because if you just take it as a order of a leader in an Islamic country, people will not follow the thing. People will not know about the importance of it. They will not do that jihad which is necessary at this time. At this time, the rahbar has given the order. This is as he has called for the jihad. You know, there are many Persian poems as well that if rahbar give me the order of jihad, then I will do this and that. This is the order of the rahbar. This is the order of the supreme leader, the naib of Imam. That if you want to do jihad, yes, this door is open. This does not involve any kind of weapon, but it involves the knowledge, education. You need to be learned. You need to use all kinds of media that you can in order to bring the true Islam in front of people. You need to spread the true Islam. This is what Rehber has given the orders. Now, he cannot give more, like a clearer, we can say, order for jihad more than this. And what you need other than that? We all were looking for the Imam. We all want to strive for a government, for a jihad, for a governorship in which Imam al-Asr will come. He will have the reappearance. And this is the time for everyone. That we need to convey this message to everyone that we know.
the importance of this, inshallah, and then may Allah give us tawfiq to be the true followers of the Imam of the time, inshallah. May Allah increase in all your tawfiqat, in our tawfiqat, inshallah, and may Allah hasten the reappearance of Imam of the time, Imam Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam, and connect this inqilab that we have, this revolution that we have, with the dhuhur or the reappearance of Imam al-Asr alayhi salatu wasalam. May Allah forgive all our sins and keep us amongst those whom the Imam of the time loves and he likes, and be the true follower as we pray in the dua ahad, inshallah. May Allah protect the ulama-i a'lam, the scholars, especially the Supreme Leader Imam Khamenei and Ayatollah Sistani and other maraji who are really working hard for the Islam and in order to spread the Muhammadan, pure Muhammadan Islam, inshallah, and give us tawfiq to train our kids on a way in which Imam of the time wants us to do, inshallah. For the qabuli and the acceptance of the dua and forgiveness of the sins that we have performed, and in order for the forgiveness of the marhumin, those who passed away, for all of them, say aloud, salawat.